Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is number 136 in our continuing saga. Let's see. Today I'm joined by my co-host, Chris. Chris, how are you?
I'm really well.
Really? Things are getting better and better for you, aren't they?
Yeah. Wait until we get to some of the news, because that's why I'm doing well.
Okay, good, good. I'm glad we get some good news and some okay news. So, I'm excited about the news site, truth. There's some good stuff in there. Before we get to the news, though, we have one quick update here we're going to bring up. We have a new permanent host here as part of the Random Chatter show. We'd like to give a warm welcome to Lizzie. Lizzie, how are you?
Bow chicka bow wow. Doing good.
Awesome. Awesome.
Excited.
We're excited, too. It's great to have a new voice in the show and some new ideas and some fresh inputs and viewpoints on things because we get kind of stale sometimes, so it's nice to add a new voice in.
No, you don't get stale, but I hope to keep the rant to a minimum if I can. Sometimes I just get very passionate.
We are all entitled to our rants every now and then. Yes. Rants, rabbit holes, side trips, whatever. We do them all, so that's why we're kind of random.
That's why I'm in good company. So.
Exactly. Okay, so let's see. We'll jump right into the news here. One good thing we saw first off was the new trailer for Blade Runner 2049 is out. Has everybody seen that? Both of you guys seen that?
I have.
Awesome.
I did too, yeah.
What did you guys think?
I was impressed. Given that I've only seen Blade Runner once, but the time that I did see it, I loved it. And I really need to find a copy to watch again. I think that it is bringing something new. I don't want to say to the franchise, but it feels like it's adding on something to what we've already seen before. But it still maintains the look of the old movie. And the fact that it still has Harrison Ford in it just makes me really excited.
I was pleasantly surprised with the trailer. I was a bit worried going into it because of just the history we have with Blade Runner, and I really didn't think we needed to go back to the same franchise again. But I'm happy to see what we saw. You're absolutely right. The look and feel felt awesome. Felt just like the original did. But some of the technology parts of it were a little weird. That what was futuristic back when Blade Runner was first made is kind of commonplace now, and we have better technology than that ourselves. So I'm wondering how they're going to handle some of that stuff and how that plays into the movie. But you're right. Having Harrison Ford there did feel good. It didn't look like it was, kind of forced to do it. It felt natural with him being older and kind of, retired or sort of reclusive or whatever. So that was kind of cool. Lizzie, what about you? What were your thoughts on it?
Well, how I feel about Blade Runner. I'm not overly excited about it. I may give it a try, but I do worry about are they going to be tapping into presenting it to a new audience, sort of how Star Wars did and repackaging it, but also hitting on nostalgia because I don't know that it's necessarily like the millennial generation is jumping on the Blade Runner bandwagon. So, but I hope that they do. I think, the Gosling effect will help that. So, I don't really care overly about Blade Runner. I tried.
Wow, I forgot about that. Yeah, I don't know how I could forget about that, but I did. I put it out of my mind. I was like, no, she can't just not like Blade Runner.
About it, and I know. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Well, no, you're right, though. I mean, will they get the millennials to come into this? Will they bring in a new audience like Star Wars did? I don't know. I mean, I think they will because it's a modern film. It's a modern action film, and they've done really well in the last few years, so... I think it'll have that audience. Whether or not it captures all the original audience, I don't know. But we shall see. I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
Let's see here. In TV news, we have Inhumans is getting a Friday time slot, 9 p.m. And that's generally considered to be the least watched time slot. So.
Yeah, I'm worried about the time slot.
Yeah, that's... I mean, I don't care about time slots anymore myself because I watch everything on my DVR. I mean, I don't watch anything live anymore. Do you guys?
It depends on the show, but most of the time, no.
I watch no shows live. I watch live television occasionally for events. musicals or whatever, but as far as TV shows go, I always watch them later. So maybe it's not as big of a deal anymore.
Maybe not. We'll find out. I mean, Lizzie and I are on the same page. I don't watch anything live except for like a sporting event, maybe. And Chris, I know you watch The Expanse live, but that's probably about it, right? Musicals. And musicals. Sorry, I don't watch too many musicals, but sorry.
Now's your chance.
I guess it is, yeah. Yeah, maybe not. were you guys fans of Timeless last year?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Good. High five, Chris.
Yeah, well, I know I'm a big fan, too. Remember, time travel is my thing. Anything time travel is like, you know, I'm all over it.
Ah, oh, I love it so much.
So it got canceled.
Yes.
And then
chagrin of everyone.
I know. And then, you know, 2 days later, they brought it back. So, I mean, I guess this was...
Miracle.
I mean, you know, the fan reaction was such a huge backlash that they brought it back. But I'm surprised because you don't really see things happen that quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, they canceled it, and then presumably they didn't have any plans to do it again. But in 2 days, they said, okay, let's keep going with this. I mean, maybe they haven't let anybody go yet, and they didn't, you know, replace everybody and fire the staff. But it just seems very strange to...
I think this is evidence of the quick turnaround of our social media saturated world right now. Of like, executives can be up on the beat immediately with this information and with such, you know, and maybe put it sort of on the bubble instead of, even though it was canceled, but true, like seeing what the temperature is and then allowing it to come back. Though I am sort of sad about this airing in 2018 for 10 episodes, malarkey.
Yeah, I mean, 10 episodes is a little minuscule. I mean,
well, I kind of want to defend that decision. Because, well, first of all, it's probably going to be based on what I read in the summer, although that's not confirmed, which would probably be good because, you know, it had the full fall, go into spring run, and it didn't do too hot against some of the other shows that are going on. And, you know, most of the time, none of the big name shows are out in the summer. So that might actually be good.
True.
And even though I love the show, there were some weeks where at least I felt like it was just going back in time and it was doing the same formula. So maybe if there is just 10 episodes, they have the chance to do like a more bigger arc, and it's not just a history event of the week type of thing.
Right. So. I mean, I guess as long as the 10 episodes are all about the arc. And not a fluff episode. If you have 10 episodes and two of them are just kind of fluff, but hey, let's go back and visit the, you know, Million Man March or something. I mean, you know, that would feel really kind of like a letdown.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can keep it to 10 episodes and really do the storyline of what they're trying to do, I guess I'd be in favor of that.
I think what networks are learning is that the way that the, you know, Netflix, Hulu sort of 7 to 13 episode, you know, stint is working so well that I wonder if they're going to start moving away from 22, 23 episodes a season, because there was, if you go back and look at a lot of shows, there's so many filler episodes and plenty of series, you know, because you have to fill an entire season order. Whereas if you change the entire system to match what's happening on Netflix and Hulu, which is working really well, then you don't have to. And you can do like a 10 episode fall season, a 10 episode spring season, a 10 episode summer season, a 10 episode winter season. And then you're even allowing more shows to be created.
Mm-hmm. And that's a very valid point too. We're going to talk about that more in our discussion later on in the episode too, because we have something coming up that'll kind of play right into that. But you know, you're absolutely right. When you get a 24 or 22 episode season and they don't either have the story for the whole 24 episodes or they don't have the budget for everything, you get things like on Star Trek, they did it where you'd have, you know, at least once a season, you'd have a bottle episode where it was, you know, somebody trapped in a room or trapped in a life pod where they couldn't, you know, they didn't have to do any new sets. They just, hey, it's three people in a room. And it saves on budget and it saves on a lot of stuff.
Many times on Star Trek.
Exactly. And you know, and was that because they ran out of budget? Was it because they didn't have a story for it? I mean, probably a combination of all of them. So,
well, and we also loved, you know, the characters, so we were like, whatever, we're in for it. But back then, we didn't have other options.
Right, and I think TV has changed now, too. If you took a popular show today and did a bottle episode, I think you might get a lot of backlash.
Yeah.
Because we're so used to a different type of storytelling these days. So we'll have to see how that plays out. So 2018, we're going to get the 10 episodes, and I don't care when it's airing because I'll just DVR it. So yeah. I'm okay with that, too. Let's see. New Seth MacFarlane comedy series coming out, The Orville. Gets a trailer.
Yes. Did you watch the trailer?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it's so funny.
I knew it was coming, but I didn't see it yet.
Yeah, I think it just dropped either today or yesterday, and I saw it, and I laughed frequently. I mean, it's honestly, I don't think, just based on my gut instinct, that it will last more than a season, just because it's a Seth MacFarlane show that's not Family Guy or American Dad. So I don't think it'll survive, unfortunately. But I do think it's funny. And just based on the trailer, I do think it's funny. I'm a big fan of Seth's work. So
what's the premise of the show, Chris?
Well, I tried to find a very brief synopsis, but I didn't really have any luck, unfortunately. But based on the trailer, it's like he is a captain of a ship similar to it's pretty much a parody of Star Trek, and it's in the same vein of that movie Galaxy Quest.
Right. Okay. Yep.
And
I love that movie.
Yeah, it was a fun movie.
I do too. But he is a captain of the ship, and he has I don't know anything else beyond that, but he's the captain of a ship, and it's a parody of Star Trek. Well, not a direct parody, but it gets the general idea. And okay. I don't know, like, if they go on, I'm assuming they go on adventures and whatnot, and it's about comedy in space. And
I'm just reading a little bit of the premise here on Wikipedia. It says, The Orville is a one-hour science fiction series set years in the future that follows the adventures of the USS Orville, a mid-level exploratory vessel. Its crew, both human and alien, face the wonders and dangers of outer space, while also dealing with the familiar and often humorous problems of regular people working, regular people in a workplace. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I like the fact that it's not like, you know, the flagship of the, you know, Federation or whatever. You know, it's not like the most amazing ship out there. It's the mid-level exploratory vessel. That sounds like it's kind of like, you know, it's the mediocrity of mm-hmm. this fleet.
In the trailer, actually, Seth is talking to, I guess, his boss or something, and Seth is like, yeah, this is something I've always wanted to do. I've wanted to be captain of a ship. And the guy's like, we have like 5,000 positions available. You were not the first choice.
So, good. Yeah. This should be funny. I can't wait for this one.
But people
and
that...
Adrian Palicki from S.H.I.E.L.D. pumped about that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yep. I think she's his wife.
Yeah, ex-wife.
Oh, yeah, ex-wife in the show.
Ex-wife and first officer. That ought to be fun.
Yeah.
One thing, though, that I know people would probably be worried about is that it's Seth MacFarlane, and if you've seen Family Guy or you've seen Ted, then you know, it might be crude humor, but this actually looks like decent in that vein. And I also think that or I saw where he has, this is pretty much his passion project. So, because, you know, he's a big fan of space and all of that stuff.
Well, that bodes well, then. That does lend some credence to it, though. If it's something he's passionate about, this could be really good.
Yeah, I get excited when I see stuff like that. When Jason Segel made the Muppets because he loves the Muppets, like that immediately made me love it. So I feel like I'm going to be excited about this because of that.
Cool.
Plus, it sounds like. And I love Family Guy.
Yeah, I do too. Is there any time on when this is coming out, Chris?
I want to say it's next in the fall, maybe.
It says this fall, yeah.
Yeah. Fall 2017-18. Okay, good.
And it'll be on Fox.
Yay!
Which means it won't last. Okay, yeah.
Well, yeah. Boo for that, but.
Okay, cool. Let's see. Speaking of stuff that won't last. We did get a bunch of cancellations this week or so. It feels kind of early for fall stuff, but there's a lot of hype going on about fall TV all of a sudden. both new shows are bringing out and then shows are getting canceled here. So I'll run through a list here of things quickly, and then afterward we can talk about anything you want to mention specifically that you're sad it's leaving. See, for Fox, we have 24 Legacy, Bones, Kicking and Screaming, Making History, Pitch, Prison Break, Rosewood, Scream Queens, Sleepy Hollow, Son of Zorn. For NBC, we have Aquarius, The Blacklist Redemption, Emerald City, Game of Silence, and Powerless. ABC, we're getting American Crime, The Catch, Conviction, Dr. Ken, Imaginary Mary, Last Man Standing, Notorious, The Real O'Neills, Secrets and Lies, Time After Time. CBS, we're getting Two Broke Girls, American Gothic, Brain Dead, Criminal Minds, Beyond Borders, Doubt, The Great Indoors, The Odd Couple, Pure Genius, and Rush Hour. So that was a quick list of everything. But
for a show.
What's that?
I didn't even know half of these were shows.
You know, some of them, I'm like, didn't that just like air like last week and then all of a sudden go
yeah.
on? Yeah, I mean, all these ones, I'm like, Imaginary Mary, that just came out. I mean, literally weeks ago.
Anyway.
I didn't watch it, but...
That was Son of Thorn.
Yeah, what was that one? Oh, was that the one with half animation, half live action?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I think Sleepy Hollow we knew was coming to an end already.
Bones, too.
Yeah, Bones we knew was coming to an ending. 24 Legacy, that was new this past fall. I'm surprised that got canceled.
I think that is still up in the air. That was on one list that I saw as being canceled or okay. It's just ending. But I think that was always going to be a limited series, and people were just going to see how it goes.
That's what I thought, too, yeah.
So, it might come back. I don't think it was ever officially, hey, we're not making any more. I think it was more of an ones that just ended.
Right. Pitch was new last fall. That's gone. Prison Break, though, this is the
Pitch. I'm so sad about Pitch.
Did you like that? You watched that?
I loved it so much.
I never saw it.
Very sad about that one.
Let's see. Aquarius, I never watched that. That was the 70s cop show with the guy from Mulder from X-Files.
What is Game of Silence?
I don't know.
I don't know half of these
never
shows.
Never seen that one. Powerless, I'm kind of sad to see going. It was kind of fun. It was a fluffy show, but it was kind of fun.
Very sad about that one. I thought it was a very unique take on the superhero aspect.
Right. I thought it was pretty imaginative.
I'm surprised that was a show that was on network television. You would think it'd be on like Netflix or Hulu, like as an original.
I would have thought it would have been a binge watch type thing, yeah.
Or like I think it would have done better.
Yeah.
It might have, yep.
It needs a binge watch format.
Let's see here. American Crime. I've never heard of Conviction.
No idea what that is.
Dr. Ken must be a daytime show thing? I
don't know. No, it was a sitcom.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I did remember seeing a show for that. Yeah, I thought that was canceled years ago. It just seems that way.
I thought The Odd Couple was canceled years ago, too.
Yeah, that was new last fall, but that didn't do very well. Pure Genius was new last fall.
There is one on here, at least the ABC list, that I'm a little sad about, and actually has a little bit of controversy behind it. Last Man Standing. It was the Tim Allen sitcom, and I think it's in sixth or seventh season. And I'll be honest, I started watching it from season one, and I thought it was good or it was okay, but I didn't honestly expect it to get past season one, let alone six or seven seasons. But the ratings were pretty good, and many people were expecting it to be renewed. But it was a very conservative show in the political sense, and made a lot of left-leaning jokes, made a lot of right-winging jokes towards the left. So a lot of people are saying that it was canceled because of the current political climate.
Interesting.
Weird.
And because
I just really love Tim Allen. Like, I watched it, too, in season one, and I liked it. Mainly because I just adore him, and so I was like, whatever, I'll watch this show, and it's not like new. It's not fresh. It's not. It's basically like Home Improvement, different wife. You know what I mean? So
yeah, right.
Which who cares? I was on board for that. Bring back Home Improvement. I'm all about that.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I watched a few episodes. Right.
Yeah, I was like, who cares? It's better than Broke Girls. I'll tell you that much.
I tried watching that. A buddy of mine loves the show, and I tried watching. I think I've watched two episodes, and I'm like, I just can't take this.
It's, yeah.
I just...
That was me too, Lou.
I accidentally...
I don't mind off-color comedy. I don't mind, you know, things aren't really politically correct, but it just didn't work for me. I'm like, this seems just too canned laughter type stuff, so... see, American Gothic, is that their version of,
That horror story?
Yeah. American... Yeah, I don't know. It might have been.
So, I don't know.
I mean, nothing on here really screams out at me going, oh, man, why are they canceling that one?
Yeah, I was most upset about Timeless, and then that got renewed, so.
Yeah.
Same.
I didn't hear any of that until you put it in the show. I'm like, what, it got canceled? And I'm reading it, I'm like, oh, wait, it got 10 episodes more. Okay.
So. I was sort of sad about Time After Time, because I thought it was an interesting premise with H.G. Wells, but I think given that Timeless was the one that hit better, that I was like, well... All right, we can't.
I saw the first episode of Time After Time. I never went back to it, though.
I didn't watch it. I didn't even know when it aired. I don't think the promo was very good about it.
Yeah, I think I happened to catch it on my DVR and then never set up a season pass thing for it, so I never went back to it. But it was okay. It would have been kind of cool to see what was going on, but I'm glad I didn't get invested now that it's canceled. So.
Yeah.
I hate when I get invested in a show when it's canceled. It's like, oh.
I'm sure you guys are very excited to hear about this, but New Girl got renewed for one more final season. I know you're pumped about that. I am.
No, which one is that again? Remind me, is that the Zooey Deschanel thing?
Yes.
Okay. I really want to like that show because I like her. I just never cared for it.
I adore it. Okay. So that was just a tiny plug because I'm very excited because it was definitely on the bubble with the season finale. It could have been the series finale. Yeah. I would have hated if it had been a series finale, but it was an okay season finale. So knowing that we'll get a small season, I'm very happy. So,
well, good.
The little TV plug.
As long as we can keep you happy, that's all that matters. So,
I agree. I not have people think that.
Oh boy. So let's see. Now that we're done with the news, Chris, you found a doozy for What Were They Thinking this week?
I did.
I'll let you take this one then, because you found it. You deserve to get the credit for this, because it is a wow.
Yeah.
A big.
So, long-time listeners of this podcast will know that we always talk about reboots and remakes and revivals, and the latest that we can add to this, which is coming to ABC in 2018, is Roseanne.
Wow.
Now, I was not Roseanne. I don't know the exact years that it aired. Let me just look up really quick. Roseanne. The final episode was in 97, and I was born in 92. So this was like right when I was too young to kind of appreciate sitcoms. I have seen repeats. I don't find any kind of funniness in it. I'm not a fan of the Roseanne character.
No, I'm not a fan of Roseanne either. I did watch the show back when it was originally on. It was funny. I mean, there was some good episodes. There was some stinkers, but you know, it did have some merit. I thought it was an interesting show. It stayed on for what, 10, 11 years, something like that.
I think it was in 9 seasons.
Way too long.
It did go way too long, because towards the end it got really bad, like a lot of comedies do. When they start adding characters or characters transition out of the show, things get really kind of weird, especially when there's kids involved and the kids grow up. It's not the same show anymore, so.
Well, and I think one of the things about Roseanne was a female lead who didn't look like a lot of the other female leads at the time, and so it was sort of really outside of the box for them to do, which is awesome, except for I mean I can't stand it, but I'm more of a Seinfeld Friends person, so I like actual things that are funny and not like we hate life and are poking fun at like the joy that you can find in life. So, you know, like actually finding joy in life. That's the thing I like. So yeah. Roseanne is like a little bit Debbie Downer for me, but I know I get it. A lot of people enjoy it, and I'm glad that they did. A revival, though?
Yeah,
on the head with the what were they thinking.
Exactly. It just does not make any sense.
But I also think what our like cancellation list up here shows with Prison Break and 24, like not, I don't think that they did as well as maybe the studios anticipated, and Prison Break getting canceled is unless they were just a short stint. You know, I really like, I think Fuller House did it right. I think they did. It's funny. It's nostalgic. It's updated. So it's evidence that it can be done right. But I feel like it's an exception, maybe not the rule, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Roseanne is not relevant anymore.
I mean, maybe, because based on, again, I've only seen maybe a handful of episodes over, and I can't even tell you a thing about it. But I think that the fact that you have like this really lower to middle class paycheck to paycheck family would be interesting in today's world, because obviously times have changed since the late 80s, early to mid to late 90s. But I just don't know if that's the kind of comedy that you need. Well, it might be the kind of comedy you need. I just don't know if it's right with Roseanne.
Well, that's the thing. I think you could do a show like this and take the same kind of things and do a family. It doesn't have to be Roseanne. It doesn't have to be a revival of that show. I mean, how relevant is she anymore? I mean, it just doesn't
work. I was just thinking the same thing. She's not been in the public eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the whole show kind of went, I mean, it went on its ear when she had that whole, you know, spitting on home plate thing when she was doing the national anthem at some baseball game. You know, that was one of her big faux pas that kind of took a downturn in the show, and the show took a suffering hit from that. Did I lose you guys?
Oh, no. I was just waiting. Oh. I don't have anything else to say.
we're all too bad.
It was dead silence. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're definitely, what were they? Because we don't know what to think about this, so.
No.
That's the reaction to that.
It's like, wow, I quieted everybody up there. Pretty good.
That's perfect.
Okay. Well, let's move away from Roseanne and then go on to our discussion. You know, Lizzie, you brought this up earlier about TV shows on networks, and maybe some of them belong in a binge format versus you know, network releasing one episode a week over a period of 13 or 24 weeks. If you're fans of 12 Monkeys, and I of course am because it's time travel, we have season 3 coming up starting this weekend, as a matter of fact, and they're going to release all 10 episodes this weekend. And it's not going to be online to download. It's going to be Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. And it does give you the ability to do that binge kind of thing from a network standpoint all in one shot. So that, to me, is kind of cool. But it's also a different take for a network. What do you guys think about the way they are releasing this episode?
I like it. I think it's, I mean, it's not a revolutionary concept, obviously, because we have the, you know, that's how Netflix and that's how Hulu works. But and there have been times, I think there was a show on Hulu that was one of their original series that a new episode of it came out like every few days or like every week or something. So it's not a totally new concept, obviously, but like you said, it is for network TV. And given how much of a struggle it is sometimes to get ratings, unless you're like a really name brand show, I mean, we were all just saying how we hardly watch live TV anymore. I think that this is an interesting and a smart way to do it. And the fact that it is I mean, I've not watched 12 Monkeys. That is on my to-do list. especially because it is time travel, and it's sci-fi, which has lately, as we've seen with The Expanse, has been putting out great content. I think that is a good show for it to experiment on. I don't think you could do it with every show, obviously, but something that and I assume 12 Monkeys, is having not seen it, is more of a it's about the story rather than just like each episode is different from the last one. So I think it can work. And I can tell you that there's been many times watching The Expanse this season, even though we got press copies, that I wanted to see the next episode immediately after the first one ended. And I can always do that.
You know, a lot of sci-fi shows really do lend themselves to that binge type format where you watch them all at once. And I think 12 Monkeys really does, because there's so much going on and there's so many twists and turns, and one of the more complicated time travel shows I've seen, both in terms of the times they visit and the storyline and the characters. It does help to see it back to back to back. You know, waiting a week between each one can sometimes be a little hard. In fact, last week I got to participate in a conference call with two of the stars of the show, and we're going to actually play that audio on the show later on. We can't do it now because they talked about spoilers, and we can't really talk about anything in the season three stuff until after they air. But, you know, both actors did say that they were really themselves into the whole binge watching way of TV. I mean, they record everything. They watch it on their DVRs. They wait till they get three or four or five episodes in the can and can do them all at once. And that seems to be the preferred way of doing a lot of shows these days. So, you know, it's not just us. It's everybody, really, when you come right down to it.
Yeah. Now, Lizzie, you mentioned earlier that you don't watch live TV. If a show that you like, really like, not just something that you just casually watch, if it decided to do this kind of format, would that make you more likely to watch it?
I think it really depends on the writing too, because when I go back and watch Lost, I don't really think, for me, it doesn't work the binge watch format, because it really depended a lot on that water cooler, like, theory building the whole week that you have, like, wondering what's going on with the plot. And I think it depends a lot on the writing. So I haven't seen 12 Monkeys, but if they're writing for that format, then it's going to benefit from that format.
Yeah, that's really interesting, Lizzie. I never thought about that with Lost. I mean, that did gain a lot of exposure to different people based on that, when you had that week to talk about it. And certainly the long, long hiatus they took between seasons. I mean, some of them were, you know, 18 months between seasons.
Right. And I just, from experience of trying to go back and watch it, there are so many things that are more annoying now because to watch them back to back to back, whereas when you have time in between to, like, with your friends, then you don't care as much. But, like, the analysts is garbage, and, like, there's so many things. And I love Lost. It's my favorite show of all time. But I can still, like, I think it suffers from a binge watch format because it wasn't written for that. So I think a lot of it has to do with the writing, you know. And I think some shows are trying to binge watch with more of a longer, they're not meaning for you to watch them back to back, so they have more pauses and they answer their own questions immediately, you know, or it doesn't work. So I just think some of them for sure, and others like, maybe you don't belong in that format. It really depends on the show.
Yeah, I never thought about it that way. I mean, I've always thought that most things you could just pick up and watch in a binge setting, and it would be good, but you're right. Some things may suffer from that, to tell you the truth. I never thought of it that way. But, I mean, 12 Monkeys I don't think is one of them. I think this is going to help the show, because I'm actually going back and I'm watching seasons 1 and 2 again, because I'm realizing I've missed certain things, or I forgot part of a storyline and who's this character. And they're bringing things back from season to season from different eras. And I almost got to take notes in the show because there's so much going on. So I think it's going to really help this show, especially doing these 10 episodes, you know, 4 one night and then 3 on the next 2 nights. I can't wait to see the reaction of fans, because I think it's going to be very positive for this. Now, the one downside is we are getting only one more season, so we're getting season three in a quick shot this weekend, and then we're getting season four, you know, next year, presumably in a regular format. They haven't really announced that yet, but might do a regular format for that. So, I mean, I don't know, doing this and going back to a regular format, I'm not sure that's going to be beneficial to the show, but I'm really excited for the binge watching format.
Yeah.
I did get a chance to ask one question of the cast when we were on. Somebody brought up spoilers earlier in the press conference, and they both kind of mentioned it. Sorry, the two actors that were on were Aaron Stanford and Amanda Scholl, the two leads, and they had both mentioned, you know, trying to keep spoilers straight in their heads and not give away anything, because obviously, you know, they're shooting episodes in advance, and what airs this week, there are three or four episodes already beyond that in the filming, or at least in the reading of the script. And, you know, this way here with the binge watch format, they'll be able to get this all out there and not risk spoiling people, I guess, which is nice. They kind of agreed on that point. But then Amanda did bring up that, well, I still got to be careful for a couple weeks because not everything airs around the world at the same time. I was like, oh, that's a good point. So even though we're getting it in the U.S. this weekend, it may not happen everywhere at the same time. So something to keep in mind.
Yep, for sure.
Let's see here. So do you think this would benefit shows on regular networks? Like, I mean, aside from Lizzie's point of not everything is written for binge watching, would it be beneficial to get other shows this way that you would never think of? I mean, I would think like a 24 Legacy would work really well in a binge format.
I think dramas, yes, or, you know, something that has, or that's more likely to have season long story arcs, even if you have those fillers in between. Mm-hmm. Sitcoms, no. Just because I can only take so much. I mean, there are some sitcoms that I love, but there's some of them I can just only take like one or two episodes of, and then I'm done. Really only for like drama shows.
Mm-hmm.
Although again, to the Fuller House point of it being, or Kimmy Schmidt, like those are both comedies that release full seasons, and I want to watch the entire thing right then, personally. Mm-hmm. But I do think dramas tend to work better. I think these revivals would really benefit from a really truncated season for people to binge watch. And then if you want to do another one, great. If it worked, if it doesn't, like, dump it, move on. I think Agent Carter would have really benefited from this because it started off as an event and then they transition into a season, where maybe they should have just done seasonal events.
Yeah.
To keep it, you know, momentum. Poor Agent Carter. Rip Agent Carter.
Yeah, you know, in the shorter ones like that probably would have been better as a a binge watch event. If you're only doing like six episodes, I mean, Agent Carter was only what, six episodes a piece for those seasons?
Yeah, yeah. Something like that.
And so like I think it takes a lot to get out of the mindset of normal television programming. And I think once they're able to, they can say like, oh, we can have so many more shows if we just do 10 episode seasons, like we were saying.
Right.
Like and Netflix, they're kicking it.
Exactly. I mean, this is the first time we're seeing a network of sort. I mean, this isn't a major ABC, CBS, NBC thing, but, you know, sci-fi doing this, I think, is a step, a huge step forward for television. I mean, I'm excited for this because it's going to give you, hopefully, things that would normally get canceled. I mean, you know, kind of like we're talking about Timeless earlier. I mean, they could do that as a binge watch thing if they just did 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody would really be upset about that. You know, if it's not bringing in the revenue.
Well, I think when you're working in a shorter season, you're pretty. Sorry.
What was that? Yeah, you broke up on Skype a little bit there. Nope, did we lose Lizzie?
was saying that I think that the creativity sometimes benefits from knowing your end date, the way that I think could have worked for Lost or did work for me. I love Lost. But I think knowing what your end date is and how many episodes you have to work with, then you don't have like a 10-year potential close date. You know, you have to get the arc finished.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's definitely true for shows that have a story they want to tell. I mean, Babylon 5 is a pretty good example of that, where, you know, JMS had a plan for his 5 years, and it kind of got screwed up because he was going to not get his fifth season at the end. They gave it to him on, went to another network, I think it was. But, you know, that's true, because then you got to rewrite everything, and, oh, we got to wrap this up now in 2 more episodes instead of a whole another season. You know, how do you do that when you have a storyline you want to tell? Yeah, I love TV shows that go into it with a plan of where they're going to end up. And that was something that I think Amanda Scholl said on the press conference, was that the writers had a definite plan of where they wanted to move this train along. Maybe not how many episodes we're going to do it in, but they know when we end the show, this is where we're ending it. So that's kind of cool to know they already have that thought process laid out. Especially something as complicated as a time travel show or like a Lost. You know, if they know where they're going with it right away from the beginning, it makes me feel better that I'm going to get the story I want to get.
Good way to say it, Lou.
Thank you.
Very well put.
We try. So I think that's all I have to say about binge watch format versus any other television. Unless you guys have something you want to add in there.
No, I'm good.
Okay. So I think we'll just kind of wrap this up at this point. We'll call this a show and be done with it, I guess. If anybody has any feedback for us, please do send us your emails. Randomchatter@randomchatter.com is a way to find us there. Anything you want to talk about, anything you want to say that we should be covering, please let us know. If you're missing a certain segment of the entertainment format you want us to cover, please let us know.
You can find us online at our social media outlets. We have Facebook, facebook.com/randomchatternetwork, so give us a like there. You can follow us on Twitter @randomchatter. That is the network account. My Twitter is @thecurseofchris. Lou, what is your Twitter?
My Twitter is just my name. It's @LouSecki. It's LouSecki.
And Lizzie?
And I'm @nerdinthecity.
And don't forget, also, you can visit randomchatter.com for all of the other podcasts that we have on the network. If you like this one, then you'll probably like some of the other ones as well. We'd also really appreciate it if you would support us and spread the word. Leave us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher or whatever podcast app you use. And please tell your friends about us as well.
And make new friends.
Yeah.
There you go. And, of course, we'd like you to help us support the network. If you head over to patreon.com/randomchatter, you can see our Patreon page. We are getting ready to revamp this whole thing. Been a little bit preoccupied getting the network back on the rails and things going in the right direction. So bear with us a little bit longer, but we're going to have some new perks out there. Chris and I are going to kind of revamp the whole thing. I think we're going to get rid of the community gaming tonight because we don't really have the facilities to make that work, but we may be bringing back some group hangouts and stuff. So we'll figure something out, but we'll come up with a new plan for you pretty soon. But we do appreciate you guys helping us out. Just help us keep the lights on around here, pays for our bandwidth and hosting costs and that kind of stuff. So we really do appreciate everybody that donates to us. So at this point, we're going to sign off and see you guys next week.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening.